Colby, thank you very much for doing this on a Masters Thursday. How are you?
Yeah, Karen, Scott, thanks for having me on. I'm doing well. We're doing good. The sun is shining here in Pittsburgh today. So, the weather is starting to alleviate some of the stuff. And we got baseball, Masters, NCAA Frozen Fours in Pittsburgh. So we got lots going on.
Yeah, I know for you, that means something different entirely to everyone else. Like most people are thinking, oh, I can get outside. I can go to a baseball game. I can get outside and play sports. You're thinking, I can hang the laundry on the line outside. I don't have to use the dryer.
Exactly. Anytime I can, innovate some new laundry steps. I mean, this is huge for my laundry game. But, the sun is definitely will add a new wrinkle to my my operation. Absolutely.
I certainly want to talk to you about the trades that have gone down in the last 24 hours. Florida clearing some cap space again this morning. Kyle Palmieri's on his way to the island. But before that, we're asking our listeners, and I'm wondering for you as a former pro athlete, how you look at it differently. We're asking listeners about their bucket list. The Masters on, there's a lot of people who like the Masters and would put that on their sports bucket list. Is there something you would love to see in person that's above all others?
I would love to go to the Masters, and believe it or not, I had tickets to go to the Masters when I was playing for the Atlanta Thrashers. I acquired them. I got them. I was all set to go. It was the end of our season. We didn't make the playoffs, and it landed on the same day that I was had the tickets and the passes to go to was the same day we had our exit physicals and meetings, and I couldn't go and had to give them up last minute.
Man.
So I was kind of upset about that. I don't know what bucket list would be. I think it would be pretty fun to do the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It just looks like really fancy. Like everyone's dressed up really nice. I don't know. I've never really done the horse racing event, and it always seems like such a big deal for the Kentucky Derby that it'll look like it'd be something else to be at.
Well, when I think fancy, I think Colby Armstrong, so that makes sense.
Exactly.
You know what? I'm with you, Colby, on the Kentucky Derby. There's just something about, you know, the hats, the fascinators, the mint juleps, the possibility of seeing the first of the Triple Crown. It's just, I don't know, there's something about it. And I think with a lot of people, it's the pomp and circumstance of the events versus even the sporting event itself.
Yeah, that's what I think it is, right? I think that's what it is. Who's there rubbing elbows or shoulders with people that from all different walks of life that come to take in the same reason you're there. But yeah, it just seems like such a, like they put on such a good event, like more than just the race. Obviously it's like done quickly, but the event itself just seems like it's got a lot of tradition and history to it that it seems like it'd be something kind of cool to take in. I can think of like, you know, a rocket ship blasting off in outer space. Wouldn't it be cool to be at one of those things too? I don't know what that entails, but that would be something pretty wild to see.
Go down the Cape Canaveral.
I don't know. I could probably go on and on with just some random things. Talladega, I heard, is pretty cool to go to one of those races. I heard it's just really cool to be at. So
shake and bake,
I don't know.
Shake and bake.
Okay. Shake and bake, baby. Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk a little hockey, though, because there was that big trade that happened yesterday. Kyle Palmieri, Travis Zajac, they're off to the island. I don't know if you saw this morning, but Palmieri, under Lou Lamoriello, he has the freshly shaven face from yesterday's beard that he had before he was traded. But on the ice, when you look at the fit for the Islanders, what do you see?
I think it's huge for them. I think it's perfect for them. I think both those players are perfect for them, and I think when you look at what they had to give up to get both of those guys, it wasn't that much. And I've got to think that there's got to be something where, you know, possibly those guys come back at the end of the year, looking at something like that. But both those players, I think Zajac especially was kind of out of nowhere, but for Palmieri in particular, you know, a guy that can fit in anywhere in your lineup, he can score goals. I think he was a guy that a lot of teams were looking at providing kind of that utility guy that can do a bunch of different things through your lineup. And obviously, you know, you look at Travis Zajac's career and his game will fit perfectly with the type of game that the Islanders play. I think both of them will. So I think that's a big move. You know, when you look at them losing Anders Lee and adding both those guys to a lineup that plays a particular brand of hockey that's frustrating to play against, And those guys can come in and do that and then still add, you know, offensive punch as well, you know, with a little bit of physicality to their game. Pretty on-brand players for what the Islanders were probably looking for. And then what's the ripple effect of that, especially in that division right now? So I think there's a few teams on the clock looking at what they're going to do now that the Islanders made those moves.
It's funny, the ripple effect, because I wanted to ask you about the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, they're just petering along like they do. Sidney Crosby's found his game again. They played pretty well in the month of March. They lost two in a row lately, but they played pretty well. I was reading this, too. Crosby has played with 83 different teammates since 2016-17. Like, this team manages to still be in playoff contention, high in the division every year, even with all their injuries. Do you see them trying to make a move, or is it just kind of stay pat and just see what we can do with these guys?
Well, I think you're going to get Malkin and Kapanen back and Teddy Bluger back here in the next, I think Malkin skated for the first time the other day. You know, and Teddy Bluger's getting close to getting back as their third line centerman. You know, with Ron Hextall and Brian Burke coming in and kind of the assessments that they're going to make and, you know, comments on them wanting to add some, you know, sandpaper and a little bit of physicality. I got to think that they're going to try to do something. Now they are in a little bit of a tough spot cap wise. So it likely have to be some money going out for some money coming in. And that's how it's going to have to work. You know, like a roster player for a roster player type of thing, possibly if they can do that. So I think we're going to have to wait and see in the next few days, but I think definitely the Islanders ramped up the pressure on them. Look, they're playing really good hockey though. Like they've been playing some really good defensive hockey and something that they're probably not, you know, totally known for as a team, but they've really buckled it down except for the last few games, and they've been getting good goaltending. And they've gotten some help in depth scoring a little bit, even though that top line with Gensel, Crosby, and Russ has continued to light it up. So they've had injury troubles all season long, but, you know, just the fact of Hextall and Burke in there and what they're looking at this team and what's going to help them, I got to expect that they'll likely do something. And, you know, there's names out there like Foligno and others that, you know, kind of fit that brand of, you know, a little bit of sandpaper with that can play as well.
Yeah, I agree. There's pressure on Pittsburgh to do something. Colby Armstrong of Sportsnet joining us here today. A couple of trades going down in the last 24 hours. Hopefully the catalyst for a lot more. I think there's going to be more activity than some people anticipate because a move like the Islanders, with what Florida's lining up to do, it's going to put pressure on teams around them. You mentioned Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. How much pressure is there on that in that division for Boston to do something, given their inability to score goals right now and given the standard they have with that organization?
Well, I think there's huge pressure, and I think it's ramped up, guys, just because of the way the season's set up, right? Like, you play these teams, you know, 10 times in your, you know, season, 8 times, and, you know, you just got to get through your division. You're in the semifinals. So it's a situation where I think, you know, a lot of teams are thinking, you know, we're right there. Like we have a chance. This is just one of those strange years with the way it's set up that I think it puts a ton of pressures on teams. Like you mentioned, like Boston add scoring for sure. They're for sure going to do something, I think. You know, we've seen Florida, as you said, clear cap space. Like, how do you not do anything when your team has put themselves in the top of the entire NHL with their team? They lose Ekblad. You want to reward your team. Like this is a season where you're going, look, we're right there. We've got a really legit chance. So I think there's a ton of pressure on a lot of teams. And maybe the ripple effect will, you know, boost all this, you know, heading into the deadline. But I think there's a lot of teams that, you know, feel they have a really good opportunity to go a few rounds. And, you know, you get to that semifinal position and, you know, you got to think anything can happen. Especially in this league. So I think there's a lot of teams that like their teams, would love to, you know, spruce them up a little bit and add some things that I think they're lacking. And can that be the difference in putting them over the top to winning a championship this year? And a lot of teams, I think their teams are in positions to do that.
Florida looks like it's going to make moves. 1 point
separates Florida. How do you not?
Well, yes. Florida, 1 point separates Florida from Carolina. 1 point separates Carolina from Tampa Bay. Those three teams are in some type of arms race. If I have to ask you to pick right now, which is the best team in the Central Division, which is it?
Oh, good question. I have to go Tampa right now, but I do like Carolina. I do like the way Carolina plays. I question, and I think everyone does, their goaltending. But I don't know. It's just so close, and you just can't put it past the defending cup champs. But I think that's why there's so much pressure, you know, to put yourself over the top. What can you add? What can you do that can be the difference maker, you know, when you face, you're going to face them. You know, if you can get to the second round, you're going to face them for sure. And through those first two rounds, you're going to face one of them. So it's a situation where I think all three of those teams, you know, with Tampa Bay being probably a little bit more comfortable, but still look, you know, to still have areas and room that they can do something. I wouldn't be surprised with them either doing something.
And Colby, it's probably a pretty simple question, but is Taylor Hall playing with Nazem Kadri a week from today in Colorado? Is that, you think that's the likely landing place for Taylor Hall?
Well, they're talking about even Boston as a place, you know, where he may end up as well. And, you know, I think obviously he's out of Buffalo, and I think there's still lots of question marks, although he was an MVP a few years ago. But, you know, the winning is the big thing, right? The winning, and will he make your team better? And, you know, I think there's still that around Taylor Hall where, you know, he's a guy that's looked at as, you know, being an X factor, could be a big difference maker for a team. But if you put him into a core group, or you put him onto a team where he can, you know, I think of like Phil Kessel when he came to Pittsburgh, what he was here, a really good hockey player, a guy that could produce, obviously a guy that could get it done in the playoffs, but a guy that was not relied on like the Malkins and the Crosbys and the Letangs, you know, at the tip top of that, you know, leadership style where he's just comfortable where he was in that pecking order. I think you put Taylor Hall in a situation in a team like that where it's set up for him, I think you could find some success with him on a team like that. Boston has that, and I think Colorado has that. So I think they're two teams you could, you know, definitely see as a good fit for a guy like him.
I know not everyone has the cap space to do this, and you're adding an extra year as well. But one of the questions in Calgary over the last few days has been about the captain, Mark Giordano. And the reason that question has come up is because of the protection list. That expansion draft is coming pretty soon. You don't have to make a move right now. You don't even have to make a move. But if you start looking at who they protect in Calgary, a lot of people think that Mark Giordano might be on the outside looking in as far as the three defensemen that they choose to protect from the Seattle Kraken. If that's the case, do you try to move Mark Giordano? Do you go to him if you're Brad Treliving and say, where would you like to go?
Doesn't the expansion just throw a whole nother wrinkle into the craziness of this year and, you know, free agency eventually, the expansion draft, the draft in general? Like, it just adds in an extra thing to a flat cap world that we're living in as well, where all of a sudden you have, you know, franchise guys or guys that are looked at, when you think of the logo, you think of that player in this era, possibly being in talks of, okay, sorry, you're the veteran guy here and we've got to move you. But I could see it happening. I mean, I could see it happening. I think in general, hockey is, you know, to a point, fairly a loyal sport where, you know, keeping your guys and, you know, guys that have, you know, done it for you for a long time and guys that have, you know, been good pros in your organization for a long time. And I mean, heck, the Canucks have seen that, you know, come and go over the last few years, have they not? With guys not wanting to waive their no trade and guys being comfortable where they're at and the team saying, okay, you know, this is what it has when you have complete control of your no trade. But I can see this getting to a situation, you know, in Calgary where, you know, really, if you look at their team and look what's going on, who's safe there? Who would be safe right now with where they're at? So
Daryl Sutter.
Yeah. And judging by the post game press conferences and his availability with the media, what he's talking about, it sounds like he's the only one that's pretty sure that, he knows what he wants. And he's pretty safe. So, yeah, Giordano, a great Calgary Flame. He's had a good run, a Norris Trophy, a good career. But when you have to start looking at, you know, other things, I had some friends in Saskatoon who are Flames fans messaging me if I heard anything about Giordano as well. So it's interesting that his name has popped in there. I think a lot of teams would be interested in the type of player he is and what he could do.
Colby, one last one for me. This just came in just moments ago. Reports that the Vancouver Canucks have had no positive test today. That's the first time in a week that we haven't seen someone added to the COVID list. Hopefully they're turning a corner. We've seen a lot of reports that different players are having different symptoms. you've played in the league, you've had injuries, but when you have injuries, you kind of know it's a timeline, right? 6 weeks,
yeah.
Whatever the case may be. This is when I'm projected to come back. How hard do you think it could be for this guys? Just the uncertainty of knowing maybe even just how their bodies are going to react when they get back on the ice.
Yeah, well, totally. With the health of this entire thing is just a giant question mark, right? And everyone's different. Like some people have zero symptoms and some people are, you know, can't get out of bed and are just put through the ringer with it. So, yeah, I think the question mark of it is scary, but, you know, at the same time, you know, it looks like it's, I guess, run its course and they've, you know, seems like almost everybody has gotten this, you know, the virus in Vancouver. That's, you know, almost it seems with the numbers that they've had there. So, yeah, I think looking at this season though, like no more in any year has any players or team or staff had to been more adaptable, and day to day. I know, you know, it's kind of cliche. We're taking it a game at a time or a day at a time, but never before has it been, you know, so on the edge day to day of what could change, what could happen, where things could go than this year. And I would just think putting myself in their shoes or any player in the league right now or staff member of what to expect day to day and how to just kind of roll with anything that is thrown at you right now. You know, I got to, you know, tip my hat to the NHL and a lot of the players and teams for, you know, being able to do that. Cause I think that's really, really tough in preparation and getting ready and, you know, being a good pro and coming to the rink every day and trying to do your job to, you know, having a horseshoe or, you know, this darn virus thrown into the mix of everything, which is adds an element of, I think, fear and everything that goes with it as well. So yeah, just a wild year. And I guess I got to give it to, like I said, the players and everyone for just being so adaptable with day to day and everything that's happened with this season that goes into the season.
Yeah, we're all hoping for the health and safety of all those involved.
Totally.
Not just totally. Athletes, but everybody who's dealing with this right now. We're looking forward to better days, man. We all are. The sun's coming out, as you mentioned. I think we're very hopeful things are going to turn here in the next 2 to 3 or 4 months. And I look forward to seeing you post on Twitter a picture of you in a fedora with a fancy suit, sipping a mint julep, and folding laundry in your backyard.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll all head down there one day together. We'll go to the Derby together.
Let's book it, brother. Let's book it.
Let's do it, you guys. Let's do it.
Thanks, Colby.
All right. Appreciate it. Good talking to you guys.